Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Dudes in a Kitchen with Tyler Florence
and Wells Adams, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, time for another episode of Two Dudes in a Kitchen. It's Wells Adams alongside Tyler Florence. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Do you like your birthday? Do you go hard on your birthday? Do you celebrate your birthday?
I don't really care. Once at 21 hit, then I didn't care anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of big ones. Obviously, 16, 21, 30, I had a great birthday party. 30, 40 was great. And we 50, I turned 53. So it's just, you know, like my wife loves a big birthday. We always
Yeah.
a lot of people together and blow it out. And last year we took a bunch of people to Blackberry Farms for her birthday last year.
Oh, great.
But me, listen, good dinner at the house, family, you know, one or two other couples, whatever it is. And we had this great birthday dinner and we had a bunch of Dungeness crab, Oof. Which is really nice. And some really good French white burgundy and just chilled and told stories and laughed. It was the best.
Well, happy belated birthday. I'm sad I missed it. I didn't know. I should have been on top of that. But
that's
you
okay,
know, 40 is coming up for me this year.
Oh, wow. When's your birthday?
May 16th.
Right around the corner, my friend.
I know. We don't need to say it. I don't. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it. Let's just say 40
is great. I loved my 40s. My 40s were fantastic. The whole decade. All of it. It was just so great.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
I hope my 40s are great as well. We'll see.
I'm sure they will be. Yeah.
For
sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited about today's episode. I mean, we talk a lot about cooking on this show, as you all know, and I love that we're going to be combining our love for cooking with the mental side of things and how cooking can be actually very healing today. Our guest is Kelly Rizzo. You may know her from a recent appearance on Fox's Special Forces, a show that, Tyler, you actually were on.
Yep.
And for also being the personality behind Eat, Travel, Rock, which is a really cool show that she produces. I believe it's like a web series. Also, I think a lot of people know her as she was married to Bob Saget, who unfortunately passed long before he should have. And she has been able to process the grief in a very public way with a new podcast she calls Comfort Food with Kelly Rizzo, featuring one-on-one interviews with celebrity guests dishing on grief and life lessons while enjoying the guest's favorite comfort food, which I think is such a cool and good idea. We're going to be talking with her about all things comfort food and some of her favorite guests from the show. So stick around. When we come back, we'll have Kelly Rizzo on Two Dudes in a Kitchen.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed, and to expand your thoughts. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Two Dudes in a Kitchen. We are now joined by the extremely talented Kelly Rizzo. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on. You got this new podcast, Comfort Food with Kelly Rizzo. You've also got Eat, Travel, Rock, which is a very cool project as well. One, how are you doing? And two, how did the Comfort Food with Kelly Rizzo, how'd that start? What's the genesis of that podcast?
Well, thank you for a very lovely intro, but also for asking how I'm doing. Doing very well. You know, Tyler and I met originally through Bob. So that was definitely our initial connection. So it's always wonderful to talk about him in any way that I can. So that's part of how I'm doing, is I always just love sharing and spreading the Bob love forever and ever. So that's kind of how the podcast Comfort Food came about. Was in the, you know, months up to a year or so after losing Bob, I, you know, you have all these conversations with people who have lost somebody, and you realize that these grief conversations are kind of taboo. Nobody likes to talk about it, but they're also can be typically a bummer, as you would think. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what, how can I have these conversations but make them a little bit more lighthearted? You know, I come from being in, you know, married to a comedian who had so much loss in his life, and he used comedy and humor to get through all of these really dark times. And so, I mean, I'm not a comedian, but I've learned so much from him that I'm like, maybe I can incorporate some of that just tone to this podcast, as well as have on guests who, many of whom are comedians or people who have lost people, who want to talk about it in just a very matter-of-fact way where it's not so heavy, it's not such a downer, but we can have these productive conversations that are really helpful to other people who might be going through similar difficulties in life, losses in life. It's not just always about grief necessarily, but just, you know, how to cope with everyday life stuff, but then while eating my guest's favorite comfort food. So it brings a little level of, you know, extra comfort and coziness to the to these dark, potentially dark conversations.
Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of ways, food can be so healing.
Yeah. You know,
and food is that direct connection to the past. So when I feel like I'm missing the South, or I feel like I'm missing, you know, my roots with, you know, my grandparents are such an instrumental part of like who I am as a person, Wilson, probably 15 years ago, that a pot of like collard greens cooking down with a smoked ham hock takes me right back to her kitchen in Georgia. And so, and I really love that, how the flavor or the smell of food can bring back such fond memories of people that we've lost, and how important that is. And the idea of what comfort food really is, and that's just to make you feel better, right?
Yeah, and you're right, a very specific dish or a specific memory. I mean, it can be so tied to food, but then also, and I'm kind of just thinking about this right now since we've been chatting, is in my, like, the immediate aftermath of when everything happened with Bob. I mean, the day in that, let's say, first week, that was how so many people showed up for me, was by sending food, bringing food, ordering food. I mean, whatever it was. And I remember feeling like this immense sense of, even in the worst week of my life, being like, all right, there's some sort of kind of continuity here. And there's some sort of, you know, this care that people are passing along was really palpable just by them sending food. Mm-hmm. And it meant so much. And so, you know, food really kind of is this intertwined thing that, you know, kind of unites these difficult experiences, but then also everyone.
Yeah.
What do you think would have been Bob's comfort food?
Oh gosh, I know exactly what it would be. It would be probably some sort of steak and potatoes. He loved like a really big, like a T-bone steak. And then he would actually, Tyler, you'll appreciate this, he would like, you'd be so mad at me, he would like gnaw on the bone, like at the restaurant in public.
Yeah.
He would literally just sit there and chew on the bone. And it was his favorite thing in the whole world to do. And I'd be like, you can't really do that. And he's like, it's like, no one's looking. I can do what I want.
Yeah.
So if you come to Miller and Lux and you're not kind of getting that sweet meat next to the bone, well, you've done that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's where the good stuff is. And you know,
my mother does that with chicken legs. Like she like sucks on the end and like gets all that cartilage out. And you're always, Mom, what are you doing? She's like, oh, it doesn't matter. This is delicious.
Yeah, that's what he would do, except it'd be a bone this big.
Yeah.
Like gnaw on it in public and like very nice restaurants. And he loved that. But then he also loved all the kind of bougier stuff too. You know, he'd love going out for, like, if it was a special occasion, we'd go out for caviar and oysters and things. He just loved the act of partaking in those kind of ritualistic type of meals, you know, like with the oysters, you put all the stuff in it, and caviar, all the different little, you know, bits and pieces. So he would love all that stuff.
And what you're doing right now is connecting through food. And I think it's such a primal touch and an amazing memory and something you can go back and refresh, because you can have that dish one more time. You can go back to his favorite steakhouse and have that steak and have those oysters and share that experience and have that fond memory, because it connects the dots to when the two of you got a chance to share that experience. I think it's so wonderful. It's one of the most amazing things that, you know, that I feel about food, because it's a primal connection to your past.
Yeah. Have you ever had that, Tyler, where let's say, you know, someone close to you, or even let's say in your restaurant, somebody comes in and they're having like a really tough time and you're like, you know what's your favorite comfort food? And like, you just make them this cozy, cozy dish that, you know, is just going to make them feel better.
Well, speaking of that, I got in the kitchen this morning, right before we started here. And I actually had my own, mini episode of Chopped, because I kind of forgot we were doing this and then I did it anyway. So I have the ingredients Instacarted to my house. And it's like, by the time the guy dropped everything off, it was like, God, 30 minutes until this podcast starts. It's like, chef, your time starts now. But I always bring the pain, right? And so I put together, look at that.
I swear on my life, when I asked you this question right now, I wasn't even being like, oh, did you make me a comfort food? This was literally just asking you generally, but what have we got there, chef?
This is a spicy rigatoni. And again, we'll take this recipe and we'll
pop it. Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So it's a rigatoni pasta with a Calabrian chili tomato sauce, melted eggplant, spicy Italian sausage, lots of mozzarella cheese and fresh basil. And I think, to me, like, this is one of my favorite comfort food dishes, I put it together in a lickety split time. I had this oven finished in about 32 minutes, starting from a bag of groceries. But this, it's a great dish. It comes together pretty quickly, and we'll pop this up on Two Dudes in the Kitchen Instagram so everybody can see it. But listen, is there anything more comforting than, you know, check this out. All right, see if I can do this.
Oh, this is, you know what though? This isn't right. This isn't fair. Like this is just not, this is torture. Oh,
that's how we roll. That's how
renegotiate the contract for this show. I'm going to say we have to be in the same room when we record, because I get
all
teased
the time.
Every episode.
Yeah,
this.
Yep.
It's not fair. And you know what? I will say though, on a different note, aside from the fact that that looks unbelievable, you know, I'm Sicilian and we do a lot with eggplant. And so I love that you incorporated eggplant into spicy rigatoni, because I don't think I've ever seen that before. And especially with the Calabrian chilies, which Calabrian, not necessarily Sicilian, but we use that a lot too.
Yeah.
I love all those different, now I'm going to do that for sure. Next time I make pasta, I'm putting more eggplant in it.
Whole onion finely minced, 2 eggplant, medium dice, small dice, small to medium dice, 4 cloves of garlic, finely minced the garlic. So the eggplant went in first. So you can kind of sear the eggplant, a lot of olive oil.
But did you get the moisture out of the eggplant first, or do you not need to do that if you're doing it fast? Like, do you always have to do that?
I never do that. And I don't even know what that's like.
Thank you.
Wells, have you ever done that before? Like, people say you got to salt it and put it in the in a colander, let it drain. For what?
No.
I feel like every single recipe ever with eggplant says you have to do that. And I'm always like, why do you have to?
I've never,
looking at it, it's coming, like the moisture is coming out.
Yeah. I mean, I think I did that once just to test it. And honestly, like nothing really came out of it anyway. And I feel like I'd wasted 45 minutes. It's one of those silly things that people just do because they do it and they don't know why they do it. But anyway, so the answer is no.
Okay. Well, I trust you. Like, I'm going to take your word for it.
I'm a good guy to trust.
Chef Lawrence says that is unnecessary.
Totally unnecessary, right? So big white saute pan, extra virgin olive oil, eggplant goes in first. Eggplant needs a lot of olive oil. It's kind of a sponge, so it's going to soak it up. But when it does soak it up, you kind of get these juicy olive oil bites. So it's okay, right? So that's going to go in first. And you want to cook that until it's like really nice and golden brown. Onions and garlic go in next, right? So, and I like to do that just to kind of give the eggplant a head start. So the onions and the garlic are perfectly cooked, because if the onions kind of break down too much, you lose the texture, and you don't want to overcook the garlic. You want that to be nice and sweet. So that's going to cook. And then I had 2 cans of San Marzano tomatoes that were crushed. I had Calabrian chilies. I threw that in. And again, I banged this out in light speed. Separate saute pan. I had the sausage. I was kind of cooking that separately in another pot. I had salted water, 2 boxes of rigatoni, cooked that until it was tender, took the sausage out, sliced that, folded that into the tomato sauce, folded the pasta into that same pot, covered it in mozzarella cheese, threw it in the oven 450 on convection bake, and baked it until the cheese was nice and bubbly and melty, and then threw some fresh basil on right at the very end. And then I think that's delicious. It's a really nice, simple comfort food dish that I think a lot of people would like.
Bang. So now a lot of people listening to that might've been like, wait, what?
Yeah.
That just went. And for me, I'm like, I'm zoned in. Like,
yep.
Tractor beams. You are speaking my language.
He went Rain Man, Beautiful Mind on us really quickly. Yeah. And everyone's like writing down as fast as they could possibly can. Wait, what was that?
I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll put that recipe up on Instagram so everybody can see it. When we're talking about comfort dishes, and I think a really nice warm baked pasta, especially on a cool night, you know, late winter, early spring, I think these things really kind of mean a lot. And this is also a great dish if you know people, because I think, listen, you know, once or twice a year, we'll have a family friend or a whole family that goes through some tragedy. And then that's the first thing that my wife does is organizes a food train where, you know, we'll gather in a circle around this person or this whole family. And then we'll pick nights on you're cooking this night, I'm cooking the next night. And then we'll figure out how to make sure that they get food so they can just sort of be and not have to worry about feeding themselves or feeding their family. And they can just grieve and just to show that you love them. And so I think it's kind of the most warm thing that you could possibly do. I had 2 friends lose their parents this year. I'm 53, so they're kind of our age. And so That's the thing that we're kind of all going through right now, you know, managing our aging parents and our raising our children at the same time. And so these are these things that you just do for people.
Yeah. My stepdaughter's friends got together, and instead of, you know, making food or ordering food necessarily, they just put together like this big kind of budget, like a big pool of money. Yeah. And every night we would just, or they would do it for us, just order like Postmates for us and just send us like different meals every night. We're like, no one's actually having to really cook or make anything or bring anything over. But it was like, yeah, here, you don't have to worry about the money. You don't even have to worry about ordering it. Yeah. Here's a pool and we'll just send it to you.
Yeah.
When it comes to the show, I think it's such an interesting concept, because like smell and taste are definitely something that can kind of transport you back in time. Like if you smell something or you taste something, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, this totally reminds me of this one time. And while talking about grief and maybe people that you've lost, I find it, the show's got to be such a, almost a time machine for people that guests that come on the show. What's something that you've learned from doing the show that you didn't expect to learn?
Well, I've learned on a maybe more of a surface level that a lot of people really love Italian food as their comfort food. I would say the 20 guests so far, maybe almost 15 of the 20 have been some sort of pasta dish, baked pasta, bolognese. I mean, so many different types of pasta dishes, even people who you wouldn't necessarily expect, you know, not necessarily Italian guests, their comfort food is Italian food. Mm-hmm. Which definitely checks out and makes sense. I've learned that people are much more willing to be open about these topics than maybe I thought. I kind of figured that if I'm talking to these people and having these conversations, that even though, yes, they've agreed to come on my podcast, that they still, it might be a little tough to get them to open up about certain things, but people are really open and really want to talk about it and kind of go even above and beyond than what I would have thought we'd be kind of getting out of them. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's almost like you guys are having a like trauma bond experience together? Like, do you think that that's why people want to become so open?
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, in some cases, some of my guests, like for instance, Katie Couric or Amanda Klutz, you know, we both or all lost our husbands at about the same age. So that's a very specific type of loss that we kind of can bond over and have these discussions about. But even if it's someone like I had on recently, JoJo Siwa, who she's only 20 and she hasn't really had a loss in her life, but she's had some difficult times because she had to grow up in the spotlight and it's very, you know, can be very dicey. And she was opening up about things that she's like, oh my God, I've never really talked about this before. Because right. I think when somebody just gives you a platform to be like, hey, let's talk about things that, you know, especially if you're, you know, you're an actor or you're a comedian or a musician, you know, you don't always talk about the bad stuff. You're always kind of talking about the good stuff. And so when somebody's like, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, wait, I finally have this opportunity to kind of get this off my chest.
I think these things are so incredibly important because it's part of the human condition. It's part of the human experience. And we all go through waves of loss. And sometimes even, you know, being in the spotlight like we are, it's hard to find a moment to talk about this because you never want to, you know, bring the volume down, you know, like with like your persona or kind of what you're doing. Or, you know, sometimes you see people, you know, having this sort of an emotional moment on Instagram, and sometimes it feels appropriate and sometimes it doesn't. But I think having a place like your podcast to talk about this kind of stuff, and I think a lot of people will listen because everybody kind of is going through something. You know, that statement where, you know, you always want to be kind to someone because you never know what they're going through. Exactly. You never know what they're holding in on the inside. Yeah. And it's nice to have a place to go just talk and chat.
Yeah. Yeah. Be kind for everyone you know is fighting a hard battle.
That's right.
Who has had the weirdest comfort food?
I think Nick Vial. Nick Vial, his was toast with peanut butter and pickles.
Mm.
And keep in mind, I have to eat all these foods too.
Yeah. So do you make it or do they bring it with them? Like, how does that work?
So for that, obviously we make that because that's very, very simple. But a lot of people, their comfort food is, like for instance, Jeff Ross, His was beef ribs and a pastrami sandwich. Like, so that we ordered from like a well-known ribs place in LA, and then Cantor's Deli, because he liked Cantor's Deli. So sometimes people want a specific restaurant, like they want pasta from Pace, you know, so we order that. But then sometimes if it's something simple or like a grilled cheese, you know, like we'll make that because we do have a great kitchen at our studio, but it just depends on what it is. But yeah, the peanut butter and pickles, I was like, well, I mean, and I'll eat anything. I mean, I'm sure you guys will be adventurous with eating too, of course, but I was like, oh, this is going to be weird. And it was actually not horrible.
Yeah.
I feel like that was from Natalie, his fiance, who was probably very pregnant when you did this. That was, he was just transferring over.
That's what I thought. But he said, because he grew up with 11 siblings.
Yeah.
He said that that was, you know, a very easy, affordable snack when he was growing up because it was easy to make for a lot of kids. So,
yeah. That's wild.
Highly recommend. 10 out of 10.
Like, really? You think it, like, it tastes good?
Yeah. Peanut butter and pickles.
How about this? It's worth a try. It's not something that I'm really actually going to make for myself, you know, on the reg, but it was worth a try.
Yeah. It sounds like a Nickelodeon show, doesn't it? Right? Peanut.
Peanut.
There's a little fear factor.
Dog's name is Pickles and the kid's name is Peanut Butter. Yeah. I can see that. For sure. Before we let you go, I wanted to share a quick story. I actually interviewed Bob back in my radio days when I was a morning show host in Nashville, and he was doing like zanies over there. And he was so lovely. I was very nervous because, you know, sometimes you get, and I was doing a morning show, you get comedians in the morning and they're not super pumped to be anywhere. And I was always a little on edge when I was doing interviews with comics, and he was so lovely and even funnier than I knew he was, you know, just from his stand up, and was so kind and everything. So I just want you to know that he left a mark on, you know, a young radio kid in Nashville 15 years ago. So
thank you for saying that. And it's true. He was so, even in the mornings when he had to wake up sometimes at 5 or 6, because he had to be on the air, you know, at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Time, he would somehow, and he liked to sleep in, but he would somehow pull it together. And he was always so quick and witty and off the cuff and just funny, even when he was super tired. And that's, you know, it's so wonderful to hear that from you. Thank you. But that was the overall sentiment from every radio host I've talked to since. Everyone says the same thing, that he was just always so kind to them. And that's just wonderful to hear. So thank you.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. I'm Abby, a mother of two, and I had these battles myself. Endless excuses, delay tactics, and many tears and tantrums. But I've created a solution. The perfect kids podcast that makes bedtime a dream. It's called Koala Moon, and it's hosted by me, Abby. With over 300 episodes, packed with original stories and sleep meditations, Koala Moon makes bedtimes easy and enjoyable. Episodes start out engaging and really rather magical, but as they progress, they gently slow to a calm and relaxing pace to have your little ones out like a light. Since launching in 2022, Koala Moon has helped with over 20 million nights sleep and received over 6,000 five-star reviews. Win back your evenings. Listen to Koala Moon now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I met Bob in an airport in Miami. That was the first time I met him. I met him a couple of times, just sort of like random places. We just sort of bumped into each other, right? And he walked up to me and he said, dude, my mother, and he said, effing loves you, right? And out of the blue, and it took me a second to go like, oh, that's Bob Saget. And he started telling me, it's like, you know, everybody, it's like on the cooks on television. She just thinks you're the real deal. And she just loves you. And he goes, can I get a picture? And I'm going to send it to
him. He probably said she likes handsome people. He would always say that. He would always be like, my mom like loved Stamos, you know, because
yeah,
his mom was like, she only likes handsome people and only likes people who are good looking. And like, that was his joke about his mom all the time. So that's, if he didn't say that to you, I'd be shocked.
It's on my Instagram thing. I'm trying to like dig through it and trying to find it right now. But if I can't, because it's probably buried. It's a couple years ago. But he was just so charming. And then we shared, yeah. You know, we got each other's phone number. And then we just stayed connected. You know, it was just occasionally he would text me and I would text him. And he was just always like so funny and so witty and so warm and so opened. And then, you know, and I also loved his sort of, you know, his naughty humor, right? Yeah. When he kind of went blue. And I think some of his stuff is just so incredibly funny. And just what a great guy. And what a tragic loss. Thank you for, you know, even like my wife makes me great. And I know you added so much to his life. And I'm sure he really expelled upon the last part of his life being so fantastic because you were in his corner. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you for that, because he just,
that means a lot.
He made so many people smile.
Thank
yeah.
Thank you. And that's something that, you know, I take with me forever, and I take it very seriously to keep, you know, forever and ever, like just, you know, doing what I can to keep his, I mean, I don't even have to work hard to keep his legacy alive because he does it on his own, but yep. Anything I can do is something I take very seriously forever. But Tyler, if we have one more minute.
Yeah.
We have one more minute.
Of course we do. Yeah.
Talk about something huge. Hello.
What are you talking about?
Special Forces.
Oh my God. Yeah. I forgot you did that. Yeah. 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 How was that?
Hello.
Was that Psycho or what? So you did season two. I did season one.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. And this
is insane.
Wells, have we ever talked about this on the show, Special Forces?
If not, no,
you and I have talked about it.
You and I have talked about it.
Yeah.
Are we talking about it on the air, or are we just talking about it personally?
I think just personally.
Personally. How was your experience?
Loved it. It was the hardest thing I've ever done, but also the most incredible thing I've ever done. See, now you were in the desert in the summer, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Which almost sounded better because I hate being cold, but we were in the winter in New Zealand. So it was like in the 30s. So it wasn't brutally cold, but it was cold. Yeah. And it was, you know, we had a great group, and, but it's, as you know, it is no joke. Absolutely no joke. It is as real as could be. Yeah. You were sleeping on the military cots. You have absolutely nothing. I had to comb my hair with a fork.
Yeah.
And it was great. Like the bathroom situation's crazy. You know, that yep. You have to go everywhere in pairs. Like even in the middle of the night, if you have to go to yep. the bathroom, it's like somebody has to go with you.
Yeah.
And
I took a number two with Scary Spice right next to her.
I did. Mine was like Tom Sandoval. But he was like my bathroom buddy.
Yeah.
JoJo Siwa were my bathroom buddies, but it was, yeah. it was crazy. It was no joke, but.
Everybody saw everybody naked. They don't have a choice.
Oh, you don't, you, there's yeah. no privacy, but yeah. I knew that the challenges weren't going to get to me. Like I didn't have a fear of doing the challenges. Like it was like, throw me off of a helicopter. I don't care. Like none of that stuff bothered me. I was excited for that.
Yeah.
What was freaking me out was the sleep situation, knowing that I knew I wasn't going to sleep.
Yeah.
And then that really takes its toll on you, because I was there 4 days. And then
the whole show lasts 10 days.
Ours was eight.
That's crazy.
So I made it halfway.
Yeah.
And I knew that it was going to be the endurance stuff, because, you know, we had a lot of Olympians, we had a lot of professional athletes, and people who were just a lot younger. You know, I did it at the time. It was not even a year ago, so I was still 44. And I'm like, I know I can't run 10 miles uphill with a 50-pound backpack on for yep. length of time. Like, I know my back's going to start hurting, my knees are going to start hurting. Like, even though I'm in good shape, I knew it was going to kick my ass. And that's ultimately what got me, was the endurance, never like the actual challenges. So,
you know, it was actually really, really kind of terrifying too, because like the added equation, because we were in the Jordanian desert, right?
Yeah.
And it was 114 degrees every day, right? And then the weird thing about it, because it's the desert, it would get down to like the upper 40s at night. Like, the temperature swing was just wild. It was freezing cold, hypothermia cold at night, and then just insanely hot during the day. And it would get hot, you know, it would probably start breaking 100 around 9 a.m.
Wow. Yeah. Ours is pretty consistent. You know, it was like high 30s, low 40s. And if the sun was out during the day, it'd maybe be 50, and it was pretty pleasant. But, you know, we had so many layers, and then we had to keep the oven going at night with the firewood to make sure we didn't freeze to death in the middle of the night. Wow. Like, it was crazy.
It was probably one of the realest things I've done, because I've been invited on a bunch of stuff, and I was talking to Wells about this early when we first started the podcast, dude. Like, I turned down The Bachelor. They asked me The Bachelor, I don't know, long 2003, 2004, a long time ago. I turned down The Apprentice. I turned down Dancing with the Stars, because it just felt like it's not my brand. You know, it's not what I want to do. But this thing popped up. I'm like, okay. You know, I like this kind of thing. This is kind of fun. I like tactical stuff. I hunt. You know, I feel like I'm in reasonably good shape to be 53 years old. I think I'm in pretty good shape. So I said, okay, let's just go. Now, the weird thing about my experience was, I have a restaurant at the Chase Center, home of the Golden State Warriors, and this was 2022. Okay. So the season was starting to like percolate and go up and down, kind of like where we are right now, right? So we're in ninth place in the Western Conference, and I can't remember exactly where we were, but it, you know, you signed the contract in January, at least I did anyway, right? And I didn't know that the Warriors were going to go to the fucking finals, right? So the Warriors are my business partner. My restaurant costs $12 million to build out. And we love each other to death. And I know when we signed the contract in 2019, it was like, we were just sort of laughing, going, okay, what happens if we win the championship? How crazy is this place going to be? And then, so we signed the contract in January, and then they started to rise up through the play-in tournament, and then they made it to the playoffs. And then the night they took my cell phone away, because they had won the Western Conference, and we found out they're playing the Celtics, and I'm in the desert.
Oh,
and I have, like, this is probably one of the biggest professional conundrums I've ever been in, because I've signed a contract for this and the money was pretty good, but I have a professional obligation on the other side that is reality.
Right.
TV's fake, right? I mean, this is really, really real. But then I run restaurants, right?
Right.
And so I said to myself, if I leave today, I can be on a plane tonight and I can be home for game two.
Oh, so you had a whole other thing going on. Cause I remember you had said you were worried, like, you know, it was a really scary challenge, and you're like, I don't want to get hurt on this. Like, if I get hurt, you said it's like, it was your wife's birthday. You're like, that'd be really bad if I got hurt. And so you had a whole other level that you can't really.
Well, so you got cameras on you. You got cameras on you 24/7. And who are you going to workshop your out with, right? Who are you going to, you know what I mean?
No, because everyone there is like, stay. You got to stay.
It was super weird, because I was like the first one to walk out. So, okay. So, but I left, right? So, but everybody got hurt. I mean, everybody got
hurt. Sounds like an excuse.
Well, no,
but
it's a real thing. It's real life. Yeah.
But here's the deal. Like, I feel like I did the right thing. So Dr. Drew Pinsky almost had a heart attack. right? I mean, he literally like had...
He had heat exhaustion.
Heat exhaustion had to be taken out. Kate Gosselin. I was gonna say
Kate. I know this very well because I watched your season literally 10 times to prep for my season. Yeah. So I know it like verbatim.
I think she fractured her spine, right? When she fell out of the helicopter into the Red Sea, right? Mm-hmm. And then Scary Spice, she hurt her knee. Like everybody kind of walked out with some sort of injury in a way, right? And so anyway, that's sort of a separate thing altogether. Like the challenge was scary. It wasn't that scary. But I thought what would have been tragic as if the owners of the Warriors on game two, which we won, by the way, and they walk into the restaurant to celebrate. And then where's Tyler?
Yeah.
Oh, he's in the desert. Oh, playing army. And oh, right, right. And we won this championship and we've been working on this crazy thing forever. And you're not here. So I just felt like I just had this moment where I'm like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta bounce now. So I literally walked up the guy and the first thing said in my head, because like it was and oddly enough, it happened to be on May 31st, which is my wife's birthday. And then the last thing my wife said to me, because we had to like file for like we had to apply for a crazy level of insurance. And then we actually had this extra policy that we had signed up for that I could get a helicopter medevaced out of there if I needed to. Right. Because literally like if you really kind of play the game, like it's up to you to go all the way. And then you can hurt yourself. You can really, really seriously injure yourself. And so like the first thing that's kind of came to my head is like, listen, today's my wife's birthday. I told her I wasn't going to get hurt. I'm leaving. I literally pulled it off my arm and I gave it to him. And then so 6 hours later, I was on an airplane from Amman to Dubai, Dubai to San Francisco, literally. And 24 hours later, I was in the restaurant and we won game two. And it was like, there's Jay-Z, there's, you know, there's like the commissioner of the NBA, there's the Lakers, there's all these people. And I'm like, I absolutely did the right thing.
Okay, so here's my question.
I totally did the right thing here.
Here's my question. If there was like a special forces redemption season, would you do it?
You know.
Would you go back? If a van pulled up right now, was like, get in. It's your chance.
Jesus. I
would in a heartbeat. I'm like praying for that van to pull up. I want to go back so bad.
I think I would. I think I would probably train a little bit differently, right? If they said, okay, you're doing it in like, you know, like 90 days or, and you know, I had 6 months to prep for that or 4 months prep for it.
I had 8 days.
Shit, really? Oh my God.
I had 8 days. And in that 8 days, I was running up my hill because I'm here in the hills, like in LA. Yeah. I was running up my hill with a backpack full of 50 pounds, just every day, just like running like that. And so, I mean, I'd been training in general, but I trained my ass off for the 8 days. I mean, it maybe helped a little bit, but clearly didn't do the trick.
Well, it was definitely the conditioning, I think, is crazy because like we were running in very deep, loose sand and the backpacks had to be, was it 47 pounds? And you had to weigh them.
Yeah, it was 15 kilos and we had to put sand in them, the sandbag at the...
Yeah, we had to sandbag it. And God, I remember like, was it night one? Because I was there for 3 days, right? And so, gosh, it was so many, all this stuff is PTSD, the whole thing. Did you have like that therapy guy that called you before and afterwards? You have the whole thing?
Oh yeah, and then like 5 times after to make sure that you weren't having mental breakdowns until the show aired.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty scary. We had like this hell night the first night. Dude, they had this pool. It was so incredibly scary because like, they would dunk you in the middle of the night. They would wake you up in the middle of the night and then you had to get thrown into this pool and the pool felt like it had no bottom. It was a very small, shallow pool. So you felt like you were drowning. And then this other thing that I just like, there's no way I'm doing this because I'm just not going to get through it. You had to kind of crawl through this like,
oh yeah, that
this pipe thing. And I'm like, I'm going to get stuck. You guys are going to have to saw me out of here.
Like we've become friends since with the DS. We've had like dinners with them. Like when come to town, we like get together with them. It's so great. They're like, once you're not in that scenario, then all of a sudden they're your besties. And you're like, oh my God, you're so nice. But you were just evil 5 minutes ago.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, honestly, that's the whole thing. They couldn't have been nicer or more professional, especially when I just kind of like, I pulled my armband off and I gave it to them. And right after that, they sort of broke character and like, somewhere in California, let me get you a steak. Love to have you. Thanks for doing this. Blah, blah, blah. You're brave just to be here. And yeah, it was wild. I don't know. My wife would probably go like, don't you do it. But I probably would talk myself into something like that. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I think about it. If it's, would it be you and me? I do.
I've recommended to Fox. I've said, yeah, can there please be like an all-star or like a redemption season, because I'm in. So
yeah. Montel,
I'm putting it out there.
Love that. Montel
Wells, you can join, or you should go for like the first time.
No.
They've asked me to do that show a couple times. No way in hell am I doing that show.
Good for you. Good for you.
No, thank you. But I'll tell you what though. I think that you and Tyler, Kelly, need to do a comfort food episode and do the trauma bond of just doing special forces.
Why don't we do that? Can I hop on your podcast?
That's the show right there. And you have to cook the bullshit that you have to eat there.
When you're in LA, I would be so honored if you come to my studio. We have an incredible kitchen.
Yeah.
We can cook something together and then we can trauma bond over special forces.
For sure. It was one of the most traumatic things I've ever done. And gosh, I mean, honestly, for you know, weeks after that, I just felt like, what did we just do? And dude, the text messages. So Montel Jordan, you know,
oh, yeah, he broke his thumb.
Yeah. We're best buddies. He's the best. Yeah, so many people off that show. It's just,
yeah, I'm close with, like, you know, Jack Osborne, JoJo Siwa, like Nick Vile, like, I mean, all these people. Tom Sandoval's a love-hate situation, but yeah. You know, like I think many people would feel about him, but he busted his ass though there. I have respect for what he did on Special Forces because he did work really hard. But yeah, it's a cool experience. And I love talking about it. It's very fun. So
it was very fun. So you and I have a subject matter to trauma bond over, and then we'll make some good recipes. We'll have a good time with it.
For sure. Well, are you in LA?
Yep.
Okay. So then you can then come and eat the food that we make.
Perfect. I'm there.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys having me. This was so wonderful.
Congratulations on the podcast. I think it's great. While we were chit-chatting, the producer went through my Instagram page and found this lovely picture.
Oh, behind me, right? Oh, his hair was so long there. Oh, thank you for showing me.
Isn't that special?
Oh, it's on Bob's. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, it was on Bob's thing is, yes, a chef and a stand-up walk into an airport. Good omen. My late mother's favorite television chef ever, Tyler Florence, introduced himself. Isn't that great?
That is great. Thank you for showing me. Yeah, well, he adored you, so.
Well, me too. It's great.
Comfort Food with Kelly Rizzo is available anywhere you get your podcast. Go listen to it immediately. And the upcoming episode with Tyler and Kelly talking about their trauma bond on Fox
Special Forces
is coming out soon. Yes. Kelly, thank you so much for coming on Two Dudes. We really appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
Great talking to you as always.
Thank you. All right.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye guys.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Instagram at Two Dudes in a Kitchen. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars.
We'll take that. And we'll see you guys next time.
See you next time.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA. And I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.